Hello there, it's your host Fangfinger. First off, before you listen to this podcast, I'd like to apologize ahead of time for the lack of audio quality. Our audio system did not work too well in this episode. However, we did discuss many good points, and hopefully you enjoy this podcast no matter what. This is out of our control, and hopefully you enjoy it anyways. Thanks for downloading. Welcome to Fang Faction Radio, as this is going to be a mainly Shea Weber show. Wow, we have a lot to get to, as in the last 22 hours have gone by since around just before midnight Central Time, where the news broke out that Shea Weber has agreed to a contract with the Philadelphia Flyers that is 14 years, $110 million per Darren Dreger of TSN. So, David Poile, he released a statement earlier today that this is word for word verbatim of what he said. We are in receipt of the offer sheet signed by the Philadelphia Flyers and Shea Weber. Under the rules pertaining to an offer sheet, the Predators have 1 week to decide whether to match or accept the compensation. We have stated previously that should a team enter into an offer sheet with Shea, our intention would be to match and retain Shea. Our ownership has provided us with the necessary resources to build a Stanley Cup winning team. Due to the complexity of the owner of the offer sheet, we will take the appropriate time to review and evaluate it all of its ramifications in order to make the best decision for the Predators in both the short and long term. We do not anticipate any further comments on this situation until we make our decision within the next 7 days. So let's go ahead and go over the latest news. 10:42 around that time, a.m., it was confirmed $110 million given to Shea Weber. It was a very front-loaded contract. It will be $14 million in the first 4 years, $12 million in years five and six, $6 million of the next 4 seasons after, which would be 7, 8, 9, 10, and $3 million in year 11, and $1 million in 12, 13, 14. It's a very front-loaded contract. At 11:10 a.m., Predators released the press release, as I just read, to 11 p.m. Shea Weber's agent, Kevin Epp, one of his agents, I guess, of Titan Sports Management, said that money was not a factor in signing the offer sheet, but that Weber likes the Flyers' history and Stanley Cup chances. That is per Sam Carcitti of the Philadelphia Inquirer, one of, like, 8 newspapers in Philadelphia. At 2:36 p.m., Weber's agent, his real agent from what I understand, Jared Busquette, told ESPN 97.3 FM in South Jersey, almost went on there to talk fantasy football, that he has not spoken to Poile since the offer sheet has been submitted. Later that day, 4 hours later, Busquette came on TSN Radio 1050 and said that Weber would like to play for the Philadelphia Flyers and doesn't want to go through a rebuilding process with the Nashville Predators. He later said that if Suter stayed in Nashville, Weber and his agent wouldn't even be talking to the Flyers. That is not a quote. It is around what he said. So, now let's get your opinion and thoughts on what has happened in the last 22 hours. Dan.
Well, first off, it's a masterstroke by both Paul Holmgren and the agents that take care of Shea Weber. Paul Holmgren has, outside of finding a defender of Shea's caliber on the free agent market, which, you know, they had their crack at Suter and didn't get him, this is the cheapest price possible to pay for a player of his talent. And as far as the Titan Sports Management, the people that handle Shea Weber, this is an absolute masterstroke. No one has more ready cash available than Ed Snyder and the Philadelphia Flyers. They can, and this contract fits their fits what they do best. It's their every advantage that they have of being in the Philadelphia market and having that kind of cash available. It's the one part of the playing field that Nashville cannot compete on, you would think. But Organization has said before, and we've had it confirmed today in a roundabout way, that they were prepared to offer contracts to both Ryan Suter and Zach Parise, as well as retaining Shea Weber. Now, you would think with that kind of cash available to keep all three of the guys, or to acquire Parise and retain Suter and Weber, they can afford to pay Shea Weber. And there's not a great future of hockey in this town if they do not retain Shea Weber. You can put that on
right.
the record. This is it sets a dangerous precedent if they don't retain his services.
Danny hit it right on the head. Is the contract offered is very disadvantageous to the Predators. They were willing to put a lot of money into Weber, but it's the upfront cash that's really killing them. And I think I read a tweet earlier today that said that, like, in the first year, the money they owe Weber for this contract outgrossed total ticket sales. And, I mean, like you said, the Flyers have just abundance of spare change lying around to throw money at these players, and that's not what the Predators have. So, I mean, Poyle's going back to what he can do about this contract, and I agree. If Weber goes, that's huge. That's a very demoralizational strike to the fan base. He's been, you know, our go-to guy. He's been our cover boy, and that's a hard one to lose. The other thing that hasn't been mentioned yet is that there's another tweet that Weber had toured the Flyers facility, and he had also considered Rangers as well for a bit of time. And, I mean, those are two, you know, little tidbits that suggest that maybe he just doesn't want to be here. Perhaps it is, you know, he was going to stay with Suter, and Suter bailed, and that's, you know, that was the deal breaker for him. So that's kind of worrisome. Is do we want a 14-year contract at a player that couldn't really care less?
I don't know if I'd go like that. Couldn't care less. If he really wanted to be out of Nashville, just sign a 1-year tender offer with Philadelphia or New York or wherever you want to go for 1 year, give you best chance to win.
You're completely
then after
right.
that, you get then after that you become an unrestricted free agent. With signing a 14-year deal, it's opened the door to return to Nashville. It's put calling the ownership on the carpet. If the ownership is serious about everything they've been talking about and everything they've fed us over the last 2 years, they'll match this. If they're not, then Shea has done the fans a favor. Right now, we're going to find out how real that all the claims that that Sigran and the ownership group have given us over the last 2 years, and if there's any merit to them or not.
Now, do you
if they're
guys
serious
really
about
think?
Winning, they'll retain.
Go ahead.
But if not, he walks and goes on to greener pastures.
You're 100% right about your first comment. If he didn't want to be here, then this is a good contract to sign because now he could potentially be stuck with Nashville 14 years. And that's what I've been repeating is, you know, that's not the case. And I got pretty enthusiastic about that potentially being the case. But you're right. If he did not want to be in Nashville,
now,
he's not signing a 14-year contract.
Do you really think that Shea Weber wants to stay here?
So,
I mean, you've proven
point.
Your points. 14 years. And then you've got the agents coming out, Jared Ruscoet and Kevin Epp telling radio shows that he wants to go to Philadelphia. He doesn't exactly want to go back to Nashville. Now that I mean I want to hear from Weber. What we're not going to hear from him.
Well, agents.
The agents need to just shut up and give us some real talk, not some. I feel like it's opinionated.
Absolutely. Agents are going to look out for their best bet, and that's making their client the most money. And peripheral money comes in from endorsements, sponsorships, exposure. That comes from being in bigger markets. Yeah. It's the same. I mean, if you want a simile, look at Dwight Howard in the NBA. He's trapped in Orlando. You know, Orlando's a fine city and everything, but revolution going on over there. That doesn't really extend outside the Magic Kingdom of Disney. That's the reason why he's pushing for a move to either Brooklyn or Los Angeles. Shea Weber's agent, Muscat, and all those guys are looking the same deal. I mean, he's a lot more exposure with Philadelphia. I mean, there's the Winter Classic that they're involved with every 5 years, it seems. They're on the tip of everyone's tongue when it comes to hockey. It makes sense. You know, until Nashville moves to the Eastern Conference, it's going to be that way, too. So that's just agent doing his job at that point. We don't like it. I don't like the fact that they're using the media as a go-between instead of just releasing information the old-fashioned way. But that's just them being Drew Rosenhaus.
An agent's not going to come out and say, you know, Philadelphia is really our second choice in the matter, and, you know, he'd ideally stay with Nashville, but, you know, you can't get that. Philadelphia is, you know, a nice second place. But what really concerns me is all the talk about losing Suter and that being a very deciding factor in his decision, because I can buy into that. And I think, you know, July 4th when Suter left, that could have been a big change in that mentality from the Weber camp of to whether signed in Nashville or not. So I mean, that part worries me about maybe he doesn't think Nashville's a cup contender without his defensive partner, and maybe he does want to move because he says he wants to win the cup. So that shows some concern.
Now, I'm
going to
touch on two things real quick.
Other than
Pecorine,
that, I agree. It's
he is being left out to dry if Weber leaves. Now, to continue if Weber leaves, do you see David Poile being fired?
Yeah,
no.
I do, because if it's going to be a total rebuild process, if Weber leaves, we're going to be in rebuild mode, and I think the fan distaste of the NHL is a gate driven revenue league. It's not like the NBA where TV contracts where you can have 8,000 people show up to a building and you still turn a profit. Now, the NHL is purely based on revenue gates because the TV ratings are terrible. You know, Forbes released the top 50, or was it Forbes? I forget who it was, but they released the top 50 TV programs of the year. Stanley Cup Finals, highest rated hockey game, didn't even make the top 50. And it got a 4.0. And it's all about getting butts in the seats and getting a product that people want to see. And, I mean, that's part of the reason why it's important to keep the guy. But I think the distaste with David Poile is growing, especially after the past two off seasons, which have been terrible. We can remember all like the good times of them getting Radulov back and what have you, and yeah, that felt good, but that didn't work out. Everything David Poile has tried has ended up failing pretty spectacularly over the last 2 years. So it may be time. And his disciples have went on to greener pastures and succeeded.
Ray, let me get your take.
So, is it time to promote Paul Fenton? I don't know. That's a good question.
I'm not in that camp. I don't think that Poile should go for this. I don't think that he's had much control in the whole situation. I mean, he managed to sign Rene. You know, he did that, and he did a good contract, in my opinion, and he's locked in our goalie, a franchise goalie now. He did a fantastic job of getting the players that, you know, you could get at the free agency. And he built a contending team into the playoffs. And that's what Suter wanted, and that's what Weber wanted. And I honestly don't think there's a thing in the world that Poile could have done to cap Suter. And, you know, maybe he dropped the ball with Weber, and I don't think we'll know how much he dropped the ball with Weber until this whole thing settles down. I think that once, you know, the 7 days are up and we see where Weber goes, that's when we'll start to see some real answers as to whether or not, you know, to how big of a mistake this was by Poile. But I like him, and I think he's done a lot of good things for Nashville. And I think that he's had a rough summer. But
he's
done
very well
in uncontrollable summer as to what he could have actually done to, you know, save these
for
times.
For what the Predators are going to get for Weber, which is most likely going to be four first-round draft picks unless we somehow get two players involved into this. You just can't give up Ryan Suter and Shea Weber for pretty much nothing. It just can't happen. Mm-hmm.
My argument is that this was coming. They knew this day was coming 2 years ago when they let Dan Hamhuis walk and no one raised an eyebrow to it because we knew the reason why. And then you have last year, we let Joe Ward, Marcel Gott, Steve Sullivan all walk, and we all knew the reason why. And then we had 2 years to lock up Shea Weber, two full calendar years, and it didn't happen. We knew that Suter's day was coming too. Didn't do, you know, botched that as well. If they didn't get Rene signed, I mean, just that's a world of trouble. And it's every joke that's been written about being a Nashville Predators fan for the last 5 years coming true. Yeah, I'm I don't know if I'm not completely in the fire Poile camp, But I understand the people who are, though.
I really just don't know. Like, I just don't think Suter wanted to be here. He lied throughout the last season about, you know, build me a team. We built you the team. You know, give me the money. We
I think that's a great
money,
area of
still
this.
Left.
I mean, you really
I can't
blame
Boyle
for
blame
what
Boyle
is going on right now. Unless it, at this period of time in the calendar year of June 2012 to right now. Right now, it's out of his control. Ahead of that, he could have controlled all that. He could have made things different. Right now, Ryan Suter, he knew where he wanted to go, pretty much, after he talked to Zach Parise and with his wife.
Let's try to get Parise to sign in Nashville. Suter tried to recruit Parise to come here. Parise was having none of it, and that was the end of the story.
That's a question because
I
propose that.
I've heard a couple
Barry
times
Trotz,
on Twitter.
His system. It's
people,
just a scoring
not
system.
Want to play
no,
Nashville?
I mean, I've talked to a couple of fans about this. And, I mean, they're just not in a good system for a scoring team. It's not a Stanley Cup system. Barry Trotz is a solid playoff gritty type of system. I don't think he can get us to the Stanley Cup Finals or hoist it.
That is John Tortorella's system conducive to scoring? Is
different
Daryl
markets.
Sutter's
you
conducive
mean
to
you've
scoring?
Got the money
Peter
in those in LA and New York.
Defense is in. You know, defense is the new offense. The Kings weren't able to bring in unrestricted free agents. That's the reason why they made the Carter and Richards trade, and that's the reason why Carolina picked up Jordan Staal the way they did. If you're having trouble getting in players like that, shipping out quantity for quality makes all the sense in the world. It's about drawing in top-end talent, and the Carolina Hurricanes showed this year they're willing to do it. For some reason, Tampa Bay is not having a problem with it, and the reason why is that they've got Stamkos locked up. They've got guys like Victor Hedman coming up the pipe as well, and they're proactive. Nashville's never been proactive. It's tape everything together for a couple years at a time. You look at what Chicago did a couple years ago by locking up Taves, Kane, Keith all together, and look what they're getting paid now is practically a bargain because they were proactive about it. Now I know that Nashville's ownership situation has not allowed them to be proactive, has not allowed them to take the bit of risk and pay athletes on a longer term deal, but this was their chance, and they knew it was coming.
Ray, do you have a response?
And here we are.
I mean, yeah, I've got a couple things. I don't know how to bring these up in any particular order. Bouncing back to the Trotz conversation, I find he's a thoroughly underwhelming playoff coach. I was very disappointed in the Trotz system this playoffs. I just feel like we did very little to adapt to the Phoenix style of play. And I think that kind of resonates back to past playoff years where, you know, you face the same team 4 to 7 times. You get to know your opponents, and good coaches change how they play. You look at that Phoenix series, we just kept putting pucks into bodies. The whole series, pucks into bodies. Move the puck around, put into a body. And there was no effort from where I was sitting. I didn't see any effort to change that system. So I like Trotz. I got him on a bit of a tighter leash now. But there could be other factors into players not wanting to come to Nashville. I mean, the financial situation a couple of years back is definitely deteriorating. The complete lack of, you know, media oversight from the whole NHL. I mean, the fact that Weber's not won an award, or that, you know, Barry Trotz hasn't won an award, or that Pecorini hasn't won an award, just because we're such a small market team, it's not a good place to go to get recognized. So, I mean, there's a lot of factors there. Back to the Poyle, you know, discussion. Yeah, he had a couple years to lock them all up, like he did with, you know, like you mentioned in Chicago, but the money, you know, we weren't a full-on financial team until, you know, maybe a year and a half ago when we decided that, okay, let's start putting money into hockey. We're sitting a bit tighter now, so let's do it. So, I don't know. I got a lot of sympathy for the guy, and maybe that's misguided sympathy, but I think I would keep him around.
So if for a rebuilding
and,
process, do you see
I think look at
Barry Trotz leaving as well for that new
Boyle.
Rebuild? You got to wipe the whole slate clean, new system, potentially new GM. You got the younger players. I mean, you have to replace the head coach if you want to get that full rebuild.
I don't know about that, because wasn't there a poll released not too long ago where they pulled players of the coaches you would most like to play for, and Trotz was near the top of the list. I don't know if I don't think he's the he's a detractant there, and he's really good with young players as well.
Yeah,
and with the exception, Colin Wilson for some reason has rubbed him the wrong way, but some of that maybe just because he knows that there's another gear in Colin Wilson that's not showing it, but he gets the most out of younger players. And that's the coach you're going to need. He has a simple system to adapt to, and it's basic hockey.
100% agree. If you're rebuilding, I think Barry Trotz is the man you want to have there. I think his weaknesses show with the higher talent, the higher-end players of,
for the
better players, and when it comes to those clutch moments. But if you're rebuilding, I think Barry Trotz is just the ideal guy.
Breaking.
Yep, I see
Jay
that.
Oshie just
and
signed his
press
release
up.
5-year deal with an average
of
4.175 per
up.
Year.
So to get back onto that discussion, lost my train of thought. Trotz, for the roster we have now, Trotz is probably the perfect guy. For last season, towards the end of the season after the trade deadline, I wouldn't put him as a bench boss. If we had that same roster at the start of the season, I wouldn't put him as a bench boss. With this upcoming season, with the roster we have now, we're going to be playing gritty hockey. Because that's all we have. We just have grit. We don't have any of the top scorers. If Sergei Kostitsyn and Martin Nyrak could shoot the puck, they could become 30-goal scorers. It's not happening right now.
When you have guys like Paul Gostad and Hal Gill excited to come back, that's at least a bit encouraging. And it's knowing what you are and knowing your identity as a team, that's so important. I mean, look at the Denver Broncos last year. They knew exactly what they were, and they worked it to their advantage. It can be done. And look what the Kings knew what they had now, and that's bigger players. If you remember the playoff series against Chicago, where we watched Nashville get pushed around like toys by their third line of the Dustin Bufflins and Andrew Ladds of the world. It's going to be a team that maybe not be as fast, but bigger team has its advantages. I think the problem with last year when it comes to the playoffs, and as far as the coaching, I think a lot of it was the team lost their identity. They're relying too much on the skill guys like the Andre Kostitsyns in the world and not being in the right place at the right time. And that's what happened with Phoenix. Phoenix is always in the right place at the right time. That may have been the worst possible matchup for us. So it's he got out-coached by Dave Tippett, but there were some
other
factors.
You got to give full props to Mike Smith for what he did.
Mike Smith.
If you were to go with the roster which we beat the Anaheim Ducks in, I believe they could I believe they could beat the Coyotes in five games. You said it, Dan. I mean, they lost their identity. They relied on the Kostitsyns, Alexander Radulov, and they didn't show up. And it just, if you didn't have Radulov or Kostitsyn, or Andre Kostitsyn, I don't think you could get past the Detroit Red Wings. Two different styles of teams, two different lineups. So for the Shea,
absolutely agree.
Let's
see.
Do you guys have anything
that's
else you want to discuss?
True.
Mm-hmm. One thing I just want to throw out there is if we don't sign Weber, Poyle's got to grind his gears to reach the cap floor. And, I mean, the team is just going to look ridiculous because we can't rely on only prospects now because we got to pay some money to get some, veterans that teams don't really want. and try to fit those into a lineup, because, I mean, we just don't have anywhere near the cap floor right now. It'd be nice if we could get, you know, Doan or Ryan to help us out in that area, and maybe that's a move they'll start to look at once this, you know, Weber situation passes. But it's going to be really, really interesting to see how they play their cards if they don't sign Weber, and I just mean financially.
If they don't sign Weber, we may be looking at a full-on fan revolt. I mean, it's literally will go against everything that we've been told for the last 2 years. It's, I think that's the big picture here, is that what's going to happen, what would happen next year if Weber's not here? It's, the financial aspects of it are, could be tragic. And it's worse. This is not Raleigh. This is not quite the Dallas or the Miami of the world, but this is not the only game in town. And people here, we've grown up here with college football. We've grown up with we know what a good product is, and people will stay away if it's not a good product. It's a team that needs to compete for probably another 5 or 6 years to fully get it in the culture. I mean, it's making strides.
Let me touch
no
on
doubt
a few
about
things.
It. This isn't a market that can afford a.
First off, who can be your first
hockey
line without Weber? Let's be without Weber. Who will be your first line? You can't have Hal Gill as the first line defenseman. He's 37, I believe. He's up there. I don't think he can play first line. Minutes. You can't have Roman Josi or Matthias Ekholm up there, and you sure as hell can't have Kevin Klein up there. So, who's going to be your first line pairing? Then I guess after that, after we answer that and discuss it, I'll touch on another topic.
I don't know who else is out there. you rammed it down right there. There's you know, Roman. We were counting on Roman Josi to play alongside Weber. I don't know. A lot of trades would have to be made. We'd have to trade off our draft picks probably for the next 2 years to acquire players with enough salary to come close to reaching the floor. We'll over end up paying a. I would like to see like a Willie Mitchell type to play alongside a Roman Josi.
Now, what happens if you don't reach the cap floor?
That's a great question that I don't know what to do. I would not know the first thing of what to do after that. That's that bad.
No idea. I don't think that's ever happened.
That's I wish that we had JR or someone on the line who knew more about the CBA than I did,
I've been wondering
about this. I know
there's a penalty
with it, and you get fined.
I just don't know. I mean,
that's something I could think
I've been
of.
Just stuck on it. So, Ray, give your thoughts. Yeah.
On the defensive pairing, I don't even think it's worth getting too into right now, because I don't think the player that will play on that top line is currently on the Preds roster. It's got to come from outside. I mean, as you said, you just named four defensemen of our, you know, seven deep depth chart, and none of them are going to play. I throw in, you know, Ellis and Blum won't be our top line defensemen either. So he's got to make a move outside of the team to acquire, you know, and it could be, you know, Carly, or it could be just about anyone in the league. So it's hard to say, but I don't think it's going to come from the Preds organization. We don't have
that,
it. Unless you want to end up with,
it just,
you know,
can't
Columbus.
Happen. Let's move on. Let's go ahead and move on to the ticket sales. Now, without Weber, Suter, you only have Parise. And your eyes are going to be locked on the freak of nature and the crease in between the pipes. Now, you can't have your eyes locked on that all day, all game. Season ticket sales are going to plummet. Ticket sales are going to plummet. You aren't going to see more than 15 sellouts all season, if 15, without a Weber or Suter, because the product's not there. I don't see us becoming a playoff team, but stranger things have happened. I mean, what do you guys think? I mean, what happens at the State of the Union that happens annually? They have not, and they're saying that it's going to be early August with the ice. Well, Sean Henry said that it's going to be early August, and the ice is going to be there so people can skate. But are they going to cancel it due to the uproar of the fans if they don't get Weber?
I don't think they can do that. I mean, I remember back when Atlanta was, if you rewind back to like 2009 or 2011, when Atlanta was facing its darkest days, they still trotted out Don Waddell to speak to the season ticket holders, people who would show up at those meetings. And you want to talk about they have to do this. It's decorum. You know? if they don't, it would say a lot about our ownership if they don't. As far as ticket sales go, I mean, we'll still sell out the Detroit games. We'll still sell out the Chicago games because of all the gracious Chicago visitors we're going to get every year. It's the games that we were selling out, like against Edmonton and on a Tuesday night, or it's the games like that that they won't sell out. It drives home the point that this was one of the best years as far as support goes, as far as gate-driven revenue, even as far as television ratings go as well. And to see it going to come to where we're talking about this right now, if Weber is not here, I mean, it's not going to be the end of the world. There's still plenty of marketable people there, and they may make a push for the playoffs again. The middle part of the West isn't still that great. You're going to be competing with Dallas and Anaheim for the 7th and 8th spot. Anaheim's going to be a good team this year. They've fixed their problems, and if they're somehow able to either get back a King's ransom for Bobby Ryan or retain him, even better. Anaheim may end up taking that division this year, as good as the Kings are. So it's keeping pace with those teams that's going to, whether or not they're a playoff team or not, and we won't know until January. I think you're around 15 sellouts, you're about right.
I agree. I think if we can, start the season and see that we can still win games with whatever roster we have, Weberless or not, that's going to be the deciding factor. And if we go in and end up with like a, 3-10-6 record after 19 games, then I think that's when you'll start to see fans calling back. But we'll find another player to market. Another big loss that I think is going to hurt the overall morale, and already has hurt the morale of Prince fans, is 2-2. I mean, he was a fan favorite by all accounts, and he's out of there now. Not in the spotlight, but generally well-liked guy was Lindback, and he's gone. And I think, that's the best for all parties, but that's another player that isn't around. So there's a lot of hurt, I think. But they'll find marketable guys in there. I mean, Ryan Ellis is highly marketable, in my opinion. He's, the Shea Weber of 5 years ago, or close to it. Maybe not that good, but, close to it. So I think it's going to be a struggle. Fans are going to be upset. We won't get as many sellouts. Our attendance will draw, but it might not be as significant as a lot of the doomsday predictors are tooting about.
I can't blame anybody who is upset, though. I mean, this is a team that has had, that before the season started last year, they had 3 of the top 20 players in the league, and that's not even arguable. I mean, Shea Weber may be in the top 5. Pecorine, mm-hmm. top 3 or 4 best goaltenders, and Ryan Suter is good in his own right. Had him in the building, under contract, and they're gone. This is the – it's been happening for years now, and it's at some point someone's going to ask questions where – whether or not this organization is really serious about committing, and as ticket prices go up, expectations go up, and the demand's going to go up for a winning product. It's really, I had a conversation with the gentleman in my store today. I really can't blame anybody who would rather spend money on Vanderbilt football tickets if Shea Weber doesn't return, because it's not just about the player. It's about the commitment from the guy from the suits. And it's not there if he's not back. As simple as that.
So, I have a question, I guess, just to go further in the conversation. Is let's say we lose Weber and the Preds somehow turn around and land, you know, a very expensive, very talented, well-liked defenseman. What do you think that would, what kind of statement do you think that would make?
It depends on at what cost. You know, at what cost would they pay for that? I mean, if we're giving up a Craig Smith and a Colin Wilson for that, then, you know, six one half dozen in the other. It's more the principle of it that it's the philosophy of Nashville drafts and develops their own guys. Well, if our own guys are leaving, then what strategy do we have?
Yeah.
This isn't a destination yet. This is not Detroit, where it's a place where people can go in the last 8 years of their career and win a ring or two and ride off in the sunset. And it's not a place like New York where it's a system, or Boston where it's a bunch of tough guys. It's the only identity Nashville has been struggling to grab onto is drafting, developing, and retaining their guys. Well, if we're not retaining the guys, then what
yeah,
are we?
Yeah, it all West depends Ham on who you get.
We're a club
yeah,
that,
and who
that's
you
an
give
incubator.
Up. I mean,
yeah,
a Colin
that's
Wilson,
a
who
is
a many fans really want to put into the lineup. You don't want a player like him to go. I mean, Craig Smith, as you said, potential. He has extreme potential this coming season as a sophomore in the NHL to really prove himself. Ever since that missed goal against the Toronto Maple Leafs, the one where he shot over the crossbar at the top of the crease, ever since that, I mean, his career has just plummeted. And
that's also hitting the wall because a college player too. He's just playing 30 games a year, and
maybe not. Maybe,
right
maybe you
wall,
can't.
So. He had signs of when he was paired with Gostad last year that he really turned it on. But
maybe not to spend the money on the Vanderbilt season ticket. Spend it on the Nashville Roller Derby.
Maybe not to spend the money on the Vanderbilt season ticket. Make spend on the
Hey man, that the roller derby girls put on a hell of a show. You can get a can of Madeo for like $8 and municipal parking is readily available. It is $15 about though, but it's like 5 hours of entertainment. It's really cool. If you haven't done roller derby, yeah, it's worth it. Rambo Sambo. I can say I've seen Jordan Gretzky and Rambo Sambo apply their craft. And,
so
yeah,
let's get
best
down to the bronze tag.
Right there, sir.
Does Weber stay or does he go?
We're off the rails.
So, let's get down to the bronze tag.
I think that they'll find a way to match this, because the pressure that what we're talking about now, we're talking. Think about how many times you've talked Predators hockey and had an angry tone in your voice. People are doing that around town now. The people are starting to wake up and say, you know, this isn't right. This is too much. I mean, we knew most educated fans had an idea that, you know, Suter's probably not going to be back. But, you know, at least they got Weber. Weber seems like he's, you know, a good guy, blah, blah, blah. They let Weber walk, and it could be Cigarons came out and said that this wasn't – that Ryan Suter leaving would not be the death blow to the Nashville Predators. Well, what about if Shea Weber leaves? What about you? What if you let the team, your team captain, who you had under restricted free agent rights, he goes away for what? Draft picks? Like the 20th overall pick and later? That's not acceptable. And there's come to the point where this is just not going to be acceptable. And the team needs to get that punk rock attitude back of, you know what? Screw you. We're going to make hockey work in Nashville. And none of this. I mean, it's a lot easier for us to spend other people's money, but this is the time to commit. And I think if they don't, it's irreparable damage. I think they find a way to get it done.
I think that despite the media suggesting that it's not going to happen, I have to agree that, you know, a week from now, Shea Weber is a Predator for life. And,
I'm
hoping
sick and tired
that,
of hearing about
that
the
no
other
way.
Media saying that Hoyle he's not going to re-sign here.
He's gonna find a way.
I think he ends up. All you have to do is just match it. We have all the money to spend. You've got to spend it somehow, and what better way to spend it than on your own captain?
That's not talked about enough, actually. The ownership group is made up of investors of all types, but the chairman is the chairman of Health South. All right, Tom Cigarette is no pauper by any means. It's not like he's a thoroughbred race trainer who's got inconsistent cash flow. No, it's ain't anyone involved with the healthcare industry. It's a steady stream. And even Brett Wilson tweeted out just a simple sentence last night. We were aware of the Philadelphia offer. That was a little bit. That inspires a little bit of confidence, and you know, everyone knows anything about Brett Wilson. He's Uncle Pennybags himself. But real quick, I wanted to get on Darren Dreger, who, if they 102.5 The Game, the local ESPN radio affiliate here, played the clip of Dreger at least twice, and just listening to his voice is, I'm not a hater on Dreger, and I know. Ray, you probably have more exposure to this than any of us do, but it really sounded like he was ad-libbing, and I mean, this is going to sound like I'm grasping at straws, what have you, like that, but this the clip of him saying, clearly he does not want to be in Nashville, besides a 14-year deal offer sheet. Well, homie, if he didn't want to be in Nashville, you know, like we talked about earlier, he would just sign like a one-year deal, or he would do the modern thing that Bobby Ryan and other athletes would have done and, quote, demand a trade through the media. Now, that's not Weber's style to do that, but if you want to get things done anymore, sometimes you just have to go through the media. And nothing gets out of the Nashville Predators Ministry of Propaganda known as the front office. Everything is very tight-lipped. So going to the media would have been probably the wisest move that Shea had done if he wanted to get traction on it. So... yeah, I Dreger was totally off base today, and I'm not buying that.
And anyone who follows Dreger on Twitter knows for a fact that he's been on vacation for the last week and a half. So anything said in the last couple of days was him quickly stringing phone calls together and
There's
trying
no time
to work
limit.
Something out that, you know, could be marketable. So I agree. One concern that I don't know if we have touched on enough, or if we even have time for. I don't know if there's a time limit on this bad boy, but is the potentially rumor that once Poile heard of the offer sheet, tried to deal Weber, and I think this is something we all heard, and I forget what the source was on this, but I mean, can we discuss this? I mean, that to me is worrisome.
Yeah, I think so as well. That is, I mean, what I did hear that from Dreger was the only person I've heard it from, but okay. You know, I don't know where he got it from. He was the one who was very confidently touting that, you know, I have heard discussions between Paul Holmgren and the Predators about trade talks going into the night. Philadelphia didn't get what they want, which that could just mean it may not be just reading the tea leaves here. It could just be Flyers are trying, you know what, we'll give you Shin, Couturier, and so-and-so for him. No, fine, we'll sign him to an offer sheet. That could have been how the talks work. I mean, we don't know enough. It could, you know, just because it says trade talks with Nashville, it could get turned around as if, you know, Nashville's trying to trade Shea Weber. And no offense, but it's TSN's memo of any player playing in a non-traditional market is – you're just renting that player.
Yeah, so I saw that, and
or something along those lines.
What I saw was Holmgren and Poile were talking all Wednesday
it,
yesterday,
yeah,
as we're
it's
doing the podcast Thursday.
And I think that's the goal.
They were talking back and forth, and nothing accomplished. So Flyers had to make the offer sheet to Weber. They didn't want to continue this back-and-forth crap like Scott Howson is doing. Poile didn't want to hear it, according to what I read on Twitter. I'm not sure if that was reliable or not. So they just gave out the offer sheet to Weber, and the rest is history as we're here talking about it now. Going back to the Darren Dreger comments on him... as it's thundering and lightning outside.
Yeah, it sounds like
Darren Drager, his comment on I heard it on 97.3 in South Jersey. He didn't sound right, as you said. I felt like he sounded a little cocky, if I could say that. His arrogance was showing, and I'm not too sure his sources were correct. Like you said, Ray, he's on vacation. He could have just been.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
He could have gotten one source, didn't confirm it, and it's just talking out of his ass.
Yeah, you could just been giddy to get some news on July, on July 19th. So that could have been it too. And yeah, I don't want to completely slam the guy, but it didn't sound he didn't sound exactly professional. And I know that's if you're listening out of town, it sounds there's bitter prince and he's just added, he's gonna lose Shea Weber. Well, I don't think it's just that. I mean, we've known the media outside of Nashville is always going to be viewed
Drager
as
is a very,
you don't
very
like it that
reliable
in hockey.
Source, so
you don't want us
wrong.
To be around
this,
anymore.
This, what
that
he was
you're
talking
gonna do whatever
on,
you can to discredit us. And it's
ESPN
times
Radio
like this where we can
Jersey.
Point and say
it,
that's
does
what it really
not
sounds like.
Sound reliable. I just don't buy into it. Ray?
I just looked over his tweets again to confirm, and it's, he hasn't done anything, and that's fine. It's the summer. He deserves a break. I think he's a fantastic reporter, and my Canadian bias towards TSN is going to be prominent every time we talk, but he does well. But I mean, you just look at his last tweets, and July 18th, Kyle Quincy signs a deal, reporting on Olympians before that, but he just hasn't been active, and that's fine. I'm not criticizing him for that, but then he comes out, fists are blazing on this Weber situation, and I think, more or less he just drew the short straw. McKenzie's probably further away on vacation, and Duffy's probably further away on vacation as well, and I think he's just trying to tie some loose ends together and have a story. And it's as Brett Wilson said earlier today, and as we got from his tweets, the Predators do like to keep a very tight, lid on things, and Weber's a classy guy, so he's trying to keep a tight lid on things too, but nonetheless, people need to write stories, and people need to get blog hits, and people need to do stuff that gets people's interest. And that's why you see this barrage of information, and it's Twitter, it's the internet. You don't know what's true. You don't know who's saying what. So you got to take everything with a grain of salt, and only listen to podcasts featuring National Predators bloggers, and that go on at 10 p.m. And that way you'll get the information you need.
The problem with the NHL, and especially since it's gotten better since the lockout, but no one's watching it. No one, there's only a couple, like a handful of big markets that carry the entire national ratings. That's the problem with hockey. The problem with hockey is deeper than just the on-ice product. It's revenue sharing. And the fact that there's only a handful of teams that compete every single year. And the problem with going further up the ladder, and some of those teams are located in Nashville and in San Jose and places where they're not cosmopolitan areas to the rest of the country. Boston's in, then people are watching. If it's New Jersey, you would think they'd carry the New York market, but not compared to what the Rangers do. The NHL is the on-ice product has gotten better and better, but it's the, and even with the shot blocking, I'm okay with that. I mean, that's, I grew up playing NHL 94. It's all about shot blocking. It's the problem is rating.
As a Predators fan living in Canada, TSN doesn't really help me out in that regard either. I bet I get as much Preds coverage as you guys get Preds coverage through ESPN. Even when they play a Canadian team, they'll only show a handful of highlights and interview like Jerome McGinley or something like that. And
how much coverage?
Bother? I still follow the team. It's not
I can't
really
think of his name
back
off
of Canada,
his.
So what can you do?
Back to talking about ratings and talking about just the financial state of the NHL. When Forbes released the top or the most valuable franchises in the world, who would have thought that the Jacksonville Jaguars, the lowest of the low of
so
the NFL,
these new CBA talks,
still
what
higher
can
than
the
both
NHL
the Maple Leafs and the
Canadiens? Do they have to
that says everything.
Try and do a more
says
national
everything
network.
You need to know about the NHL revenue.
Expand it.
Up it. Have to try to do a more
national network. Well, about it. NBC cares about it. It's just come down to people watching NBC Sports. With Comcast now owning NBC Sports, things can only go up. If you remember right when Comcast here in the States took over NBC Sports, the channel listing went up right next to ESPN as opposed to being next to like FX. So it was easier to find on your dial. Little things like that Comcast is going to do, and they know how to promote television. You know, versus it was a experiment and NBC stepping in, that's going to help out a ton. But it's just improving the television product. You know, camera angles, make it more of a TV show. I mean, you can, NBA is, it's brutal at times. It's absolutely brutal, but it's good television at the end. It has characters that you care about. Hockey's starting to get the character aspect back. Everyone took a side in the Pittsburgh-Philly series. That's fun. You know, everyone had some kind of reaction to whatever Dustin Brown did during the playoffs. That's even better. It's going to take more character development. It's going to take more and just being a better product and be less of a in-person spectacle and more of a television show. That's what it's going to take. It's going to take a massive national TV contract to be big enough where they can cut it in 30 different pieces and everyone's happy.
Hockey Night in America on NBC. That is what is needed.
Consistently competitive. That's why the NFL is where it is. And that's why Major League Baseball only has about 10 teams that really matter.
Yes. Do something like that.
Man, just get the Canadian feed, okay? just give me Don Cherry and Ron McClain, you know?
And like his suits.
I love Cherry.
I love Cherry. People in Canada seem to hate Cherry, but I love Cherry. He's so senile.
If Craig Sager can get away with what he does on my HD screen, I'm okay with whatever Cherry brings to the table. You know, I would like to see just Don Cherry and Jeremy Roenick go back and forth. If we're gonna, really worry about making good television, that's where it starts.
When he's at Bridgestone Arena. All he can do is compliment
the studio
Bridgestone
for the good
Arena.
Reason.
That's all he can
hey,
do.
Hey, man, you guys have Pierre Maguire.
Yeah. We're not claiming Pierre Maguire. Come on.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Probably scared to death, man. Some pretty rough-looking people at Bridgestone.
Isn't Penger a good guy? He seems all right.
I've got Brian Engvall.
Penger confused with Scott Hamilton so many times.
I don't even like
Scott Hamilton
Brian
will be walking
Engvall.
Around.
I mean,
Arena.
He's just boring.
I nearly approached
Brian
him twice
Engvall is
Darren
boring.
Penger for getting Scott Hamilton.
Only if we still had ESPN.
Brian Engvall had like the great ESPN 2 hair from like the blonde half mullet half Donald Trump thing. But other than that, his analyst is terrible. Yeah, we have. Oh, well, I mean, Barry Melrose wasn't. He was all talk and no cattle himself. Now, I'm not a Barry Melrose fan either. What made ESPN. ESPN hockey coverage work is that the guys had fun doing it. And I can put up with BS analysis from guys like Barry Melrose and Darren Pang was actually somewhat insightful. And he does a really good job on the Blues broadcast when he's not being big of a homer. But it's just the guys like Steve Levy and John Buchagrass had such fun doing it because those are Northeastern guys and that was their sport. It made it a good TV product. But the ratings showed otherwise, because this was during the dark ages of
the
NHL.
Any last thought before
we
close out the show? Want to catch The Office?
It still had all the fun of a hockey game. This was the Greco-Roman years of hockey, where it was clutching, grabbing, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, sign Weber or else. Ray.
Yeah, priorities. Sign Weber or else?
It was worth it staying up. I mean,
I appreciate when you guys complain about being up.
I'm usually up around that time,
behind, so
2 a.m. around
that's
that.
All I got.
And,
I was up until 3:30.
Just seeing that news
morning,
just
sleep.
Brought
but
something
it was all worth it.
Meaning to the night.
Yeah. An excuse. I was watching Sucker Punch.
I can't believe it.
And good job. None of us seeing Dark Knight Rises tonight, so there's always that.
Yeah, I got a shout out to Chris Martel from the editorial, who's actually
doing
marathon.
Wants to do,
doing
so
all three Batman movies today.
We'll give it to him. I tried to get him on.
Yeah.
I forgot about the Batman.
Yeah, he got his wife to actually watch the kids and everything. That is.
He's not going to give up.
That's my hero.
Watching the Batman marathon. Heck no. So right now, we sign off, right now Fang Faction now has a new t-shirt shop. Right now we're just creating products.
Right
one of the brands
the
that we're
Knights.
Trying to
no.
get out there is Cuck the Funucks. So we're trying to get that out there. I created the yoga pants now with the FangFaction.com written on that. Now, that is the that is the best branding you can get out there.
Carry on, carry on. I'm sorry.
I mean, there's not
That's
a
awesome.
Better way to market the product than the yoga pants.
Will thank you.
There's not a better way.
I've heard some say that they'd rather that over an engagement ring. So, I mean, just go to town.
I just like Dan's reaction to it.
No.
Nothing says I love you like a pair of yellow gold yoga pants.
You can check that.
This podcast has reached an all-time high, sir. That is
check
awesome.
It out.
That is legitimately awesome. That's
the
best thing I've heard all month.
The dash,
really.
Board, the line, whatever you can call it. At store, click on it. All the products
man.
Are there.
But now, thanks
nothing
to Fang Faction
we
yoga
can,
pants,
we can
my
create
life
even
better.
Better.
I haven't even seen
them
yet. My life's gotten better.
That's what we have right now. And Ray Harris will be taking control of that. I'll chip in every once in a while, but he's going to be taking control of it. Whoever shirt's on hold, all right. I'll try to get to that tonight. And we'll get to that. And Dan, where can they follow you on Twitter, and where can they see your writing?
They're currently on hold.
Oh, they can put up with me at Dandy Bradley on Twitter. They can read my terrible articles at treadlines.com or sport-seasons-blog.com. I write about sport goods.
Agreed, and you can follow me on Twitter at fang_finger. We had a great podcast. Just went over an hour. And
you can find me at Canada's Preds
now,
fan.
To sign
and,
off,
I'm,
we talked about Shea Weber.
Fact,
we talked
so
about
check out some of my writing there.
Everything in between. On behalf of Ray, Dan, and myself, good night, everybody, and good luck on the Shea Weber. And don't worry too much. Just wait it out. Good night.
Step off the bus, shake came from dust. Grab your guitar, walk down the street. Sign says Nashville, Tennessee. But I